Now turn to the book of Mark, chapter 11. This is a pretext. Praise the Lord. Now, y'all know I like my sound. Now, when I first got up, you had me perfect, and you changed it. It don't sound like it did. And I needed to be like that because I'm going somewhere today. Mark 11, verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22. And Jesus, answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. That's just a pretext. I'm not working with that yet. Genesis chapter 18. Now what I want to do in Genesis 18 is I want to read my text and then we'll back up and look at the story a little bit. Because God here is talking. So I better read verse 13 so you'll know that it's God that's talking. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. So let's go back up to verse 9. I want to talk about today. Is anything too hard for God? Since God asked the question, he said, wait, what you trying to say? I can't do this. You trying to say this is too difficult for me? You trying to say this is beyond me? You trying to tell me that I'm impotent in this area? You trying to tell me that your situation dominates me? Your circumstances trump my ability? Are you saying because you are 99 and she is 89 that we can't get this done? Are you telling me that because she was barren when she was a little girl, she's been barren ever since the day you married her, and because you now have got through your impotency to that place where you went through your Hagar and you got your Ishmael, but now that you are potent, no longer potent, you're telling me that I'm not potent enough to change your impotency? I came to tell you that the potent power of God will change the ability of an impotent man. I came to tell you that the potent power of God will trump the barren womb that was barren at 9. At 89, God said, that's all right. I'm going to open it up. Now watch this. And God said, this time, I'm compressed. Pressing time. We don't need time for you to confess this. I don't need time for you, hallelujah, to go read and go pray and fast 40 days. Because at the appointed time, in the time of life, which means 9 months from the day I'm talking to you, in 40 weeks, you're going to have a son. Hallelujah. And I want you to know he's talking to folk that right now, they ain't convinced. Verse 9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. How long does it take for a woman to have a healthy baby? Amen. It only takes 9 months. It does not take 12 months. Come on. It does not take a year. Now, I want you to understand there are folk who have been trying, amen, to conceive for months. Some been trying to conceive for years. They've had medical aid and assistance. They've taken everything the doctor has given them, but to no avail. But God is saying, listen here, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door. Now wait a minute, I got a problem here, because my Bible tell me that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yet when God himself is, there ain't no prophet talking today, this ain't no evangelist talking, this is God talking. And the girl herself heard God say it, and she laughed at God. Like, Lord, you funny. There ain't no way in the world that's going to happen. But what she really was saying down in her heart of hearts was not, I believe, I receive. She really was saying, yeah, right. If that happened, it's going to take a miracle. If that happened, I know it's going to show enough be God. It's going to be God at a level I ain't never seen him. I came the elevator to announce to you that God's about to introduce himself in a way that you have never seen. You may have never heard it, but that does not stop God. And the Bible said, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken. And hey, look at the writer. He gonna put the circumstances in there. He gonna put down the situation. I know what y'all call it. He just stating the facts. Well, I'm just preaching the truth. And it always trumps the fact. I came to tell you, they just wanted to let you know that this is a God thing. They old and well stricken in age. Now you got to understand, baby, when the Bible call you old, you old. Now, anyway, I ain't going to get distracted. The Bible said, watch this. And it has ceased to be to Sarah after the manner of women. See, the girl done been through the chains now. Come on here. Come on. She done want to, you know, she done just passed on by that. It's like, okay, now look, God. Now you should have showed up premenopause and then maybe I could get with you, but God, you're too late. I mean, I done went through the chains. I don't even have hot flashes no more. Lord, what you talking about? I'm way gone. I don't have no more night sweats. I'm way gone. Now you're going to show up and tell me this. Therefore, the Bible said, therefore, that, did you catch that? Did you catch that? The therefore part, the conjunction. Sarah is saying, Lord, you tripping, God. I done been through menopause, God. Lord, it's too late. Lord, do you understand that I got parts that don't work no more? Do you understand? My parts have retired, God. As a matter of fact, Abraham and I got separate beds now. We don't even worry with that no more. Therefore, Sarah laughed. She laughed at God because of the situation. She laughed at God because she was old, well stricken in age. I'm trying to paint this picture that we got some of us in this room right now. This may not be your particular situation, but the thing that you in, you have counted God out. You have said, I messed up too much. I went too far this time. Even God can't redeem me. I just want to ask a question in the other radar. Is anything too hard for God? Because God wants to know. You think your situation is that much? You think your circumstances is that big that I can't get beyond that? I came to tell you, hallelujah. You think, well, you know, Brother Ford, I got my eye blown out and I can't see now like God can't create. I'm going to tell y'all a secret. There's a warehouse in heaven that's got parts in it. God got another eyeball. I did meet a man that shocked the doctors, though. He didn't get his eyeball back, but he got his sight back, and they messed up because there's a hole there. But it covered up the eye, and he could still see and read the chart. It can't fit. Now, that's a God thing right there. I came to ask a question. Is anything too hard for God? Therefore, she laughed within herself, saying, look how you, I ain't saying nothing public. I was just, you know, just within me. I'm just laughing at God. See, that's where a lot of church folks are now. Oh, their mouth is saying something, but their heart is laughing like, yeah, right. Oh, I believe. Not really. No, God is looking at the heart. God is checking out what you didn't speak. You know why? Because you were spirited when you said it within yourself. That's who said it to you. Now, hey, watch this. Therefore, she's laughing because she said, after I wax old, shall I have pleasure? So what she's saying is, we don't get busy no more. You thought I done got old. Now we finna go back to doing that stuff. We done gave that up, Lord. We just talk to each other and hold hands and go to bed. We don't worry about that. He sleep over there. I sleep over here. Now that I'm old, you mean I gotta go kick off the mothballs, pull out them negligees and spray some red tonight? I came to tell you that God is about to move beyond your mindset. God is not limited in your mental box. God is not limited by your small thinking. God is bigger than your brain. And then watch this. My Lord being old also. I'm old, he old. And then and the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Look at God. Look at God. He didn't even talk to her. He heard her laughing and then he said, now listen, you got to check this out now. If the girl laughing inside, Abraham don't hear it. So God said, what's your wife laughing about? Abe looking like she in the tent. I ain't know she was laughing. I ain't heard nothing. You know your wife's laughing. Abe like, I ain't heard her laugh. saying. Watch this. She laughed saying. Abraham was like, I ain't heard her say nothing. She said, I'm surely. She said, oh, wait a minute. Now, Abraham, what's she laughing about? Why she doubting? Why she saying? She said, she bear a child with him old. What's she trying to say? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So you trying to tell me that your wife is disagreeing with me? Your wife is saying, I can't do this thing because of the situation. Look at you sitting here looking at me today. But I came to tell you, some of you sitting right there, and in your heart, you are saying, God can't turn this around. God can't deliver me from this. My wife done went this way, and she ain't gonna come back. My husband is just through. He done threw in the towel, divorced me, married another woman right here in the city. There ain't no way God can get my marriage back together. God is asking this morning, is anything too hard for God? Let me go and testify. I got a sister, a friend of mine named Sarita Wright in Kansas City, Missouri. Hallelujah. Married to her husband and already started having babies. Everything going good. They both sanctified. Hallelujah. She done stepped into the ministry, and one day he decided he don't want this. He gonna marry, so he done divorced her. Hallelujah. And went and married somebody else. And she was so sanctified, she didn't bring no baby's mama drama. Come on. She just went on to the heavens and began to talk to God. Now when they were separated, all the saints were standing with her. We believe God gonna touch his heart. The heart of the king is in the hand of God. God gonna turn his heart back. But then when it hit the papers, this booger done got married to somebody else. They said, girl, give it up. She said, give up what? Your husband, he married. She said, no, he ain't not. She said, these old school saints. She said, no, he committing adultery now, because he ain't no business on me. He got to come back to me. She said, what you talking about, girl? You just got to learn how to move on. Don't you? Now, she said, look here, you ain't the one. I need somebody that's going to agree with me. So what she had to do, she had to go to her bishop. She said, now, look, bishop, I ain't tripping. I was raised in this church, but I know the devil caused him to divorce me. I know it was the devil that caused him to leave here. And I got power over the devil. And I got patience. But the Bible says, after having done all, hallelujah, the will of God, you have need of patience to obtain the promise. So she said, bishop, all I need is you to get an agreement with me. He got an agreement with her, and they stood on that word. A whole year went by. He's still married to the other woman. Don't even drop by the house. She just kept on praising God and preaching that word like he was coming home every day. Oh, Lord, let me just fast forward to the end. All of a sudden, one day, he showed up on her doorsteps with two bags. She said, may I help you? He said, I'm coming home. She said, I don't think so. She said, we are divorced, and you can't just roll back up in here. She said, do you remember Bishop's phone number? Well, call Bishop and get an appointment. Once Bishop called me, I'll talk to you. He had to go make an appointment to see the bishop. See, this ain't no needy woman. She ain't in no hurry. Oh, thank God he's back, I told you. She didn't call no haters. She said, no, I don't think you ain't coming up in here. You ain't going to just show back up in here with two suitcases. How about you coming home? Are you going to talk to the bishop? She went and talked to the bishop. Watch this. And the bishop described some counseling. He had to sit down with the bishop for 6 whole months and go through counseling and make sure he was back on point, make sure Samson got his hair and his focus back. Hallelujah. When Bishop was satisfied, he called and said, daughter, I think you can talk to him now. Watch this. She called him and said, where you working at? Where you living at? At least we can't talk for a while. She made that booger date her. Come on now. You got to understand. See, I ain't talking about no. Y'all so needy. Be like, he been in the house before Bishop found out. I'm trying to get you to understand, is it over because it's over? Now, I'm not telling you to be too dumb to let go, but when you know what you know, hallelujah, she held on her. He came back. Now they got a church, hallelujah, and been pastor for many years now, loving one another. You can't tell they ever been separated. Why? Because ain't nothing too hard for God. We done counted God out. We discount God. That was a man of God. His offering was running short. On Sunday, the offering was so small, he wasn't going to be able to make payroll come from. So he called his mentor, he called his spiritual father and said, I need some instructions of how to break it to the people. Y'all turn to 2 Kings 3. How to break it to the people and let them know that I'm not going to be able to pay them on Friday. Because, you know, we get paid every 2 weeks and I've been believing God and the money just ain't came in. So I want to do the thing that's right. He spoke to him and said, son, you're not in faith. Here it is Monday and you done counted God out. You saying God, it can't get it done by Friday.
Well, you know what the pastor was thinking? Well, Wednesday night's offering, sure enough, is not going to be enough to pay all these folk on staff. And I don't want the folk mad at me come Friday to find out, hey, done worked another week and still ain't going to get paid. But I want you to know, when the man of God got through talking to him, he made an adjustment in his heart. Hallelujah. Rebuked that spirit of fear and got back in his faith. The money didn't come in Wednesday night either. But I came to tell you, it came in full. He said, this day, so I can't tell you where how God did it, where it came from. People just sending some money that wasn't even part of this congregation. I came to tell you, your congregation ain't your source. Your meetings are not your source. God and God alone is your source. Your job is not your source. Your business is not your source. God is your source. If the business go belly up, you ain't got to go belly up. Hallelujah, because the Holy Ghost is working on your behalf. Everything in the county can shut down and God will keep you open. Why? Because ain't nothing too hard for God. It's time for us to readjust our thinking and begin to realize I'm not serving some Pee Wee Herman. I'm not serving some nickel and dime. Come on here, Cracker Jack God. I'm serving that God Elohim, El Elyon. He's the Most High, Almighty God. You got to understand today. I'm just asking a question in the orator. Is anything too hard for God?
Now, y'all, I don't have time to take you to the second chapter, but in the second chapter, they got hinged in. Everybody coming against them. They think they got them trapped. They got them pinned down. So in the third chapter, the king, he asked Jehoshaphat to come with him because Jehoshaphat was a man of God. And then Jehoshaphat got there and saw them lying preachers, all them false prophets. He said, is there not a prophet of God, a real man of God that we can inquire about God of? He said, well, that boy that used to serve that other preacher, you know, he poured water on the hands of Elijah. He hanging around. He said, that's a man of God. Bring him in here. The man of God walked in, looked at him and said, if it wasn't for Jehoshaphat, I'd walk up out of here. I wouldn't even turn towards y'all. Well, because I honor and respect the man of God. He said, bring me a minstrel. That ain't just a piano player. That's somebody that's anointed and called of God. They don't just play by notes. They play by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Hey, you got to know what song to pray. When the prophet is so grieved and vexed, he can't even hear God and tell you what song God wants. You got to be in the flow. And the Bible said in verse 15, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel prayed that the hand of God came upon Elijah and he said, thus saith the Lord. He didn't have a thus saith the Lord until there was a shift in the atmosphere. And I came to tell y'all, we got to learn how to participate. We got to learn how to anticipate. We got to learn how to step into worship and stop talking about that ain't me, because God's trying to shift the atmosphere. He said, make some ditches in this valley. Now, that don't make sense. What you talking about, man? Dig some, we need some water. We thirsty. God said, dig some ditches. And I said, if you don't believe God, if you don't have faith in God, I ain't digging no ditch. That's stupid. That don't make sense to me. Well, I'm going to dig a ditch. But there ain't no clouds in the sky. But watch this. He said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. And thus saith the Lord, you shall not see wind, it ain't going to come natural. You shall not see rain, it ain't coming by the way you think. Yet that valley shall be filled with water that you may drink. Watch this. Enough water for you, your cattle, and the rest of your beasts. I'm trying to get you to understand. God said, I can fill this valley with water, but I don't waste my water. I need you to get the capacity to receive. I need you to make preparation to receive in a situation where you feel like you're about to die. Ain't no hope. But God said, don't count me out. So I got to get you engaged. I need you to participate. I need you to put some ditches in this thing. Now see, some of us would have dug a little rut about 2 feet long and quit. But these men said, look here, if God said it, what we got to lose? They went to dig in ditches and watch this. He said, and this is but what a light thing in the sight of the Lord. I believe God is saying, I think I can't do this. Try me. Prove me. Put me to the test. Just give me some ditches. I'll give you some water. See, sometimes we're trying to get water and we ain't got a cup. You're trying to get water. Where your pail at? You're trying to get water. God said, give me a ditch and I'll fill it up. I want you to understand, God's looking for your capacity to receive. And the situation where your brain says, if it would rain, we could do this. If the wind would blow. Now, God said, I'm not going to use the wind. I'm not going to use the rain. I'm going to show you that I got more ways than you can dream up to meet your need right where you at. I'm not sending you anywhere. I'm not digging an underground spring. I'm going to send you some water. That don't make, how you going to send it without rain? How you gonna send it without wind? Because I'm God and I know how to do stuff.
He said, watch this. This is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. And watch this. And he will deliver the Moabites, your enemy that you're scared of, also into your hand. And he shall smite, and you shall smite every fence city and every choice city. And ye shall fail. That means to cut every good tree and stop all the wells of water and mar every good piece of stone. And it came to pass. Hallelujah. When? In the morning. I want you to pause right there and understand that means they dug them ditches that day. They didn't say that. Now, Lord, I got to pray about this. Was this really God? Because you know me, I don't want to go out there, get my hands all calloused up, digging no ditch, all sweaty and dehydrated, didn't know how, no water. See, you got folk in church say, I'm just using some wisdom. You just compromising and full of doubt. Watch this. By the time when the meat offering, that behold, see, when they offered the offering, they done dug the ditches and now they done gave their offering. That behold, there came water. There came water. Did you see it? There came water by the way of Edom. There came water. It wasn't on the ground. Springs bursting. Didn't no rain came. Now, you got to understand, how in the world is this water moving? And it came by the way of Edom, right? Now, you know Edom means red, right? So this water flowing in there, amen, is coming from a place that means red. That's significant. And watch this. And the Bible said the country was filled. Now, God doesn't show it out. He didn't say the valley. He said the country is full of water. Sound like overflow to me. When the Moabites king heard that the kings were coming to fight, they done gathered together, boy, they done stood up, got to the border, and they rose early in the morning. They going to whoop somebody, but watch God. And they rose early in the morning, and the sun shone upon the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side, what? As red as blood. Your miracle is about to confuse your enemy. When God step in and turn it around, your haters are going to be, amen, bamboozled. I came to tell you, all of a sudden, they thought it was blood. Thinking these folk done killed themselves. So they put their swords back in the sheath. They just ran in to do a little collection and went in there and got a beat down. Watch verse 24. And when they came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites so that they fled before them. But they went forward smiting the Moabites even into their own country and beat down the cities. I'm trying to tell you, ain't nothing too hard for God. The devil got you thinking you hemmed in, pinned in. Go to Job 42. But I want you to understand tonight, stop looking at the situation. This afternoon, stop looking at the circumstance. Stop listening to the reporter. Isaiah says, whose reporter do you believe? See, what we have done, we've grown into our circumstance till we have become our circumstance. We're not just a victim of it. We are partner with it. We didn't got so one with our circumstance, we handed down to the next generation. You know how it is. There was some folks, amen, back in the day, they was chopping cotton until they taught the kids how to chop cotton. And the kids were teaching somebody. But in the midst of that, your great-great-granddaughter said, I ain't chopping no cotton when I grow up. I'm going to get me an education. I'm going to move out this little. If that's all that's the only job they got in this little one-horse town, I'm moving to a 10-horse town. I'm going to get me a better job. I'll come back and bail y'all out later. Now, you got to understand, some folks are content to live on welfare. Some folks are content to shop, hallelujah, with their EBT card and teach their kids how to do it. They are content now. They're satisfied. This is all right with me. But you're a child of the king. And God said, the silver is mine. The gold is mine. God said, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But he turned around and said, no, I want the heaven of heaven, but the earth, I give it to the sons of men. Is anything? I don't see how God could bless me. I'm a third grade dropout. Don't you make Sam Walton testify in here today. I came to tell you, cause you ain't got no education, don't stop nothing. Hallelujah. Walmart and Sam Club, the biggest thing on the planet. And everybody knows Sam Walton was a third grade dropout. Just cause you dropped out in the third grade don't mean you stop learning. You got to understand God got something called revelation that'll take you beyond your education. You might have a GED and be hiring PhDs. I came to tell you today, I just want to know one thing in El Dorado, Arkansas. Is anything too hard for God? Is God God enough to deliver you? Is God God enough to? Oh, you know, if I just could get over this anger problem, look like everybody in my life, I run them off. I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. Is anything too hard for God? If God can appease a savage beast, he can break that. I done went to anger management 15 times, and I'm still mad as a hornet. I dare you to get involved with the Holy Ghost. Get baptized in the Holy Ghost. Spend some time in worship. Let that word saturate you. Pull along with God alone, and watch God. Make you look in the mirror and say, who that is? Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything and that no thought, not even a thought, can be withholding from thee. Job sounds like some of us. Go to Isaiah 49. See, Job sounds like us. I know God can, but you don't know if he will, and you don't believe he will for you. I know he'll do it for somebody else. He'll probably do it for that preacher. He'll probably do it for that prophet. But little old me, who am I? You his child? You the one that he loved? Well, you know, I ain't really saved yet. That's all right. He loved you so much he died for you to make a way for you to get saved. I just came to ask a question. Is anything too hard for God? Because you're going through a situation, and you see what's wrong with us? I can't figure it out. If you could just show me how it's going to happen, that's your dilemma. Because God bring it through the chimney when you look for it to come through the front door. You got to know this. God's going to do it legitimately. God's going to do it legally. However God get to you, you ain't going to catch no case. I can tell you that. If God do it, you won't catch a case. When God does it, it won't be no felony involved. You just got to make a decision. My situation, hey man, looks like a, y'all remember back in the day when y'all used to watch those cartoons and those heroes. This is like a job for Mighty Mouse. Y'all remember them days? So this is like a job for the Holy Ghost to me. Whatever you're facing to me, it looks like, you know, put your spinach can down, Popeye. We talking God today. This is a job for the Holy Ghost. Man can't do it. The Bible tell me it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Is anything too hard for God? Isaiah 49 and verse 22. Isaiah 49 and 22. Church, we got to rise up now. Hallelujah. The Bible says, thus saith who? Who talking here? Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried up on their shoulders. The devil stole your kids, he bringing them back. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and queens thy nursing mothers. Hallelujah, that's your comfort and stabilizer. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait on me. Watch verse 24 and 25. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Stop right there. Did you hear what he said? He said, now the prey was taken out of the mighty. The mighty went and took you as a prey. But then he said, there's a lawful captive. God says, shall the lawful captive be delivered? I hear Jesus right now saying, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach deliverance to the captive. I came to tell you, they might have got a life sentence without parole. Is anything too hard for God? I came to tell you, I knew a young man. He was in the mafia. Hallelujah. How many know when you're in the mafia and you're close to the dawn, you don't get out unless you die? He was hanging with the mafia down in deep down in Louisiana. He was the Don's number one man. Hallelujah. One day he got so tired of it. He said he couldn't put up with the killing and the murder and the stealing no more. His soul was vexed, and he went up on a church and stood by the steeple, and he said, God, if you real deliver me today, or I'm jumping off this church and I'm gonna die in this churchyard, because I can't take this no more. And the power of God hit him on the roof of the church. Wasn't no preaching nowhere. Hallelujah. The man got saved. Hallelujah. Filled with the Holy Ghost, came down, glory be to God, and went to see the dawn. He said, I need to see you alone. Went in the room and closed the door and poured out his soul and told him. He said, man, I can't do this no more. I need you to let me out. He said, he told him the whole story. I went on the roof of the church. God saved me. He said, I already know how this thing works. He said, but if you kill me today, I'm going to heaven. He said, but if you don't, I'm going to leave here and just go and leave. He said, I will not disclose anything that I know. And the man looked at him and said, you know, you're like a son to me. And he said, normally, you know, this would be a death sentence. He said, but there's something about your eyes, man. He said, let me tell you this. I'm going to let you walk out of here. But if I ever see your face again, you are a dead man. He left Louisiana, came to Arkansas. I taught him in Bible college. Watch this. The man, some folk get saved, they get honest. He got so saved, he confessed some stuff he had done and went to prison. Heard me preaching on VTN in prison. I went to an Arkansas Travelers game, and a big old man, Rich, and grabbed me and said, I know who you are. You Leonard Ford. Lord, I watched you on television all while I was in prison. And he sit there and gave me this testimony that I'm giving you. He said, but what you don't know is I ain't supposed to be out. I had a life without. He said, but 3.5 years into my sentence, they came in and told me that there had been some changes and I was going back to court. Long story made short, Booker did 5 years of a life without and walked out. Watch this. It even gets better. Once he graduated from the Bible college, he said, I'm going again. He went through the Bible college 3 times. Every time he'd graduate, he'd come back. After the 6th time, he got into prison ministry. And when he had me to come down to Pine Bluff to preach the graduation of his Bible school that he had in prison, he started laughing when we walked through the gate. I said, what are you laughing about? He said, look, he said, they locked me up. Now I got the keys. I'm unlocking the doors. I'm walking in prison. Why? Because it's anything too hard for God. You might have a boy, a girl, a cousin, a nephew in prison right now. And the society, the system said he'll never see daylight. I just want to ask one question. In El Dorado, Arkansas, is anything too hard for God? He said, I'll set the lawful captives free. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be what? God is bad. I'm going to take them away. The devil don't want, I don't care what they strung out on the day. You might think they're going to die on cocaine. They're going to die on heroin. They're going to die on methamphetamine. You got to understand, some folk, after they get delivered off of meth, their brain don't act right because their brain cells been killed. But I came to tell you, God can restore the brain cells. You got to make a decision. Listen here. If you can kick meth, you can kick the influences of it. I came to tell you, you're getting kicked meth by yourself. So don't take God out of the equation now just because you don't want the drug no more. You got to understand there's nothing too hard for God. He said they shall be taken away and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. God can deliver from the mafia. Watch this. I know a preacher. Amen. Went and preached to a man in the mafia. Hallelujah. And I'm talking about at the top, the don. The big man is finna die. And guess who he summons? He said, I want to see the preacher. Now, they call the priest. He didn't want the priest. He called a Protestant preacher. Called the preacher in. Got him in there because he had heard the preacher preach one time. And on his deathbed, he called him in at 7:30. The preacher ministered to him, got him saved, got him born again, told him, I'll see you in heaven forever. At 4:30 the next morning, the man went to heaven. See, church folk don't like that. He done kill, steal, rape, rob. That book can either burn in hell forever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I came to tell you today, you got to learn that Jesus is looking to save everything on the planet. I don't care how low the devil takes them. Jesus loved the serial killer. He might have molested your niece and you want to see him go to hell, but before he go, Jesus want to save him. He might die, he might get a lethal injection, but before they push it in him, God want to snatch his soul out of hell. You got to understand today, ain't nothing too hard for God. Watch now, this right here gets tough. And I will contend with them that contend with thee, and I will what? Save your children. Oh, you got to understand. You serving a bad God and don't even realize it. You don't realize how bad he is. Huh? We don't know. Go chapter 50. I'm just asking a question. I really just want to know. Is your situation too hard for God? God can't fix this. God can't turn this around. Some of you don't understand. I mean, I'm seeing God have done some crazy stuff. You know, stuff that church folk tell us God can't do. Like if I say, you know, God can heal, and then you don't believe God can heal your dog. Now that's just stupid, brother. For what you gonna be praying for a dog for? Cause whatever is important to you is important to him. A little girl dog, amen, broke his tail just all limp. She took it in to her daddy, and her daddy started laughing, and she just went and got her mama. And her mama said, I'll agree with you. Her and her mama prayed, hallelujah, and the power hit that dog tail shot straight up. Daddy quit laughing. He had to go talk to God. He didn't believe God would heal a dog. But God said, that dog is important to that baby. And that baby is important to me. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get you to understand. It's anything. I know she's just so crazy. She treat that dog like it's a child. Well, you got to understand something. Ain't nothing too hard for the God that we serve. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement? Whom have I put away? What creditor is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and your transgressions is your mother put away. But see, we've been blaming God for our dilemmas. He said, wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened? God said, so you said, I can't reach you now. I can't get you. I can't reach you when you're divorced. I can't reach you when you're dead. He said, is my hand shortened at all that I cannot what? Redeem means to buy back. God said, you trying to tell me I can't get you out the mess you in? You telling me you so far away, my hand don't reach? Or have I no power to deliver? Watch what God going to testify a little bit. Now the word said, behold, let me just say, peep this. At my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink because there's no water. They die of thirst. God said, you telling me I got this kind of power and I ain't got enough power to set you free? I ain't got enough power to turn your life around. I can't turn your business around. I can't turn your marriage around. I can't change the heart of your stony heart up. I can't deliver your son from crack. I can't deliver your daughter from prostitution. God wanna know what you're trying to tell me. God just want to know, are you saying this Trump means 59, chapter 59? Sometimes we get in church and we get so religious, we forget that our God is an awesome God. We sing it, but we don't really hear it. Verse 1, Isaiah 59. Behold, the Lord's hand is what? Not shortened that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy or dull or insensitive that he cannot hear. See, we made your own verse too much. Your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. All you gotta do is repent and get back in position. See, we sit around here, well, I know God mad at me. Really? Jeremiah 32. I know God don't want to see me. Because God don't like ugly. What book is that in? Jeremiah 32. Now you really need to read this whole chapter because God is, they finna go into captivity and God is telling him, before you go, I want you to buy this land on the kingdom right. I want you to get the deeds and the evidence in the passage when you read it. They say evidence is, it's talking about the title. He said, I want you to put them in an earthen vessel. So they didn't have plastic bags like we do. So they put them in an earthen vessel. He said, I want you to bury it so I can have some evidence because after a while, I'm going to bring you up out of Babylon. I'm going to bring you back to your land and there's going to be fruitful fields and vineyard in this land again. But God said, I'm going to declare the end from the beginning before it happened. I'm going to do this. Now we're up to verse 17. He said, Jeremiah was praying in verse 16, and he said in verse 17, saying, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. You got to understand. He's now go down to verse 27. He said, God, ain't nothing too hard for you. But watch the verse 26. I want you to catch it because it just said, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah saying. So I want you to catch that verse to know that it is God talking in the next verse. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? God asked a question the second time in the Bible. In another generation, he asked Abraham. Now he's asking Jeremiah, anything too hard for me? I can't do it. I can't give you that building. I can't give you that car. I can't get your house back. Remember the woman the prophet prophesied to? She left her land, left her house for 7 years. 7 years, she ain't paid no taxes, nothing. She came back after 7 years, and the man, somebody in there testified. That was the lucky break. The devil is a lie. That was a divine setup, a divine appointment. She walked in, and the man giving her testimony, and she'd been gone for 7 years. And he said, oh, my God, King, there's a lady right there. He said, you the woman. And when she got through testifying, he said, give her land, her house, and everything it produced for the last 7 years that she wasn't here. Give it all back to her today. Is anything too hard for God. Y'all got to understand, God is not a joke. God is not a phantom. God is not a myth. God is real. He loves you, and his hand, amen, wants to be involved in your affairs. He just needs you to move the stone out the way, the stone of your heart. But I came to announce to some of you that God is going to bypass your doubt. God's going to do some things. See, sometimes God has to do a thing to start a thing flowing. So sometimes God has to exercise the divine grace and release the gift of faith and create a miracle. Y'all know the woman told the man of God, this is a holy man of God that come by us continually. And he said, woman, what you want me to do for you? I don't nothing. I got this. We all good. He said, man, he asked her, so what you need? He said, well, she ain't got no children. He said, you're going to have a baby. Now she said, don't lie to me. Now you just told your husband he was holy. You said, she said, I perceive it's a holy man. When the holy man went beyond her mind, got down that door she had closed, and the emotion she had shut down and didn't want that can of worms open again, he snatched the lid off, said, you're going to have a baby. You see, what y'all miss is all the emotional rush that hit her. She got through all that. All I done been through trying to have kids, I done finally got to the fact and accepted the fact that I'm not going to have any. See, that's what some of us are. We have accepted the fact I'm going to live death. I'm accepting the fact that hearing aids won't help me. I'm accepting the fact that I'm just going to have to live with this arthritis until I die. I'm accepting the fact that I'm going to have to live on meds until I die. But bless God, you got to understand, ain't nothing too hard for God. Every time you take that pill, you still quote the word of God, and you keep walking in that word, not from a religious standpoint, but you letting your faith rise and rise and rise and rise. Now I can tell when you're playing with me, because you're taking the pill in Jesus' name and then watching 6 hours of Gunsmoke reruns. You ain't trying to build no faith. But I'm talking about when you in that word, you working on something, hallelujah, and you stay with it, and folks is laughing at you, but one day they're going to quit laughing. Hallelujah. Had a friend of mine came in the prayer line, got prayer for his eyes. Glory be to God. And a few days later, his glasses was hurting his eyes. Hallelujah. He went back to the doctor. Hallelujah. And the doctor gave him some more glasses. They were hurting his eyes. He said, let me do another eye exam on you. Examined his eyes and said, the glasses are hurting your eyes because you don't need them. Hallelujah. Now you've been wearing glasses all this time, and now you don't need glasses no more. How'd that happen? That don't make sense. Who trying to make sense? God makes the difference, baby. I came to ask a question. Is anything too hard for God? See, we count God out. Don't count him out. Let's go to Numbers 11. You got to understand, God is looking for a people that he can show himself strong to. Now, man, wow. You know, I need to get y'all to read the Bible, because you need to hear this whole chapter. Because these folk out here in the wilderness, God is bringing manna every day. I'm telling, he's talking to Moses, and Moses is going to tell God how many people he got. He did. He told God how many folks he was. Talking about 600,000 men. God looking at him like, I can count. So they was complaining. Everybody was displeased. And then Moses started praying that old whimpered prayer. Lord, if this is how you going to treat me, then just go and kill me and take me out. And then God, verse 16, and the Lord said to Moses, go get 70 men. Shut up. Go get me 70 men. I'm going to take the spirit of what we would call the anointing that's on you. I'm going to put it on them. They're going to help you out. He said, I'm going to come down and talk with you. I'm going to put that spirit on them. Go down to verse 19. He said, they was crying about they ain't had no meat to eat. He said, I'm going to give you so much meat, you shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even a whole month, I'm going to feed you till it come out your nose. I'm going to give you so much meat, you ain't going to like meat no more. It's going to be loathsome to you. Because you despise the Lord which is among you and have wept. And Moses said, the people among whom I am is 100,000 foot men. And 600,000 foot men, and you trying to tell me you gonna give them that much flesh eat for a month? What they gonna do? Kill every cow they got? See? He trying to figure it out. Cause he said, if it's 600,000 foot men, then with wives and children, God, you talking like 2.5-3 million people here. How we gonna do this? Now he done forgot that God been sending, amen, enough manna every morning to feed these same people. 4,500 tons of bread a day, according to the mathematician, is what it would take, amen, to feed 3 million people every day. You would need 4,500 tons of bread every day, and God did it with leftovers for 40 years.
Then you know how it is. You tired of this. I need a sandwich, Lord. Where the meat at? We got any salmon around here? Anybody got some catfish or something? So God said, okay, now watch how God does this. And the Bible says in verse 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, if the Lord's hand wax short, thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not. God said, oh, you want to test my power? You want to test me? You want to see am I lying, God? You want to see can I do what I say? He said, I'm going to show you a thing. He said, you trying to say my hand too short? I can't do this. I can't meet this need. You saying just cause you got 3 million folks out here and growing, it is too big for me to meet their need. I'm God, Moses. Moses wouldn't told the people what the Lord said. Drop down to verse 31. And he's an awesome God. And there went forth a what? A wind from the Lord and did what? Now, wait a minute. You done saw geese flying, how the head geese, they get their little formation, cut the wind. No, God sent a wind that just went to bring in a ton of quails. Watch this. He brought quail from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp as it were 2 cubits. A cubit is about 18 inches. Now God said for 2 miles square, 3 feet of meat 3 feet high. This ain't no roadkill either. Come on now. God bought it in. Drop it. You ain't, they didn't even need a bow and arrow. God, drop it. He said, you go a day, as far as you can walk for a whole day this way, you're going to find me. As far as you can go a whole day this way, you're going to find me. You want to know, can I do this thing? I'm trying to get you to, and the people stood up, watch this. All that day, all that night, all the next day. I'm trying to tell you, is anything too hard for God? You got to understand, God knows how to feed you. God knows how to meet the need. He just wants you to understand, I'm God. But I want you to see here, they were not believing, they were complaining, and God met the need while they was complaining. And I came to tell you in this hour that we're living in, God's about to flex his muscle. God's about to show his hand right here in El Dorado, Arkansas. Brother Stephen, you make sure you let Brother Jerry hear this. I was praying for this service. I told my wife, I said, baby, I can't even tell you how many years it's been since I've been this troubled in my spirit. Not a grieving trouble, but knowing that God wants to do something, and I hadn't got there in prayer yet. I kept going out. I'd go out at 4 in the morning, 2 in the morning, and I'd come back disappointed. I didn't get there. I told the saints in our prayer group, I need y'all to pray. I said, God want to do something in El Dorado. See, sometimes we be thinking about in the church. No, God wants to do something in the heavens. Preachers, listen to me. Develop your ministry in the heavens. Stop just focusing on your ministry in the earth. Your ministry in the earth is your preaching. It's where you lay hand on the sick. The ministry in the heavens is your intercession. It's where you go in the heavens and take your seated position. And from the throne of God, you deal with demon powers in the heavenlies. Then when you come to preach, it's easier to reach the people. So what I saw, Brother Stephen, I saw like a, for me, like an octopus. And I saw 8, amen, tentacles reaching out over the region. And it had them, look, you know, in down his arm, looked like suction cups. Everything that it grabbed was just drawn and could not move. And I kept on praying. And I had got the title to the message 2 or 3 days. And I told my wife, I said, something ain't breaking yet. I got to stay with it. Well, Thursday night in prayer, it broke. Here's what I saw when I was looking at the tentacles, how long they were. They were long enough to reach the region, not just the city. Hallelujah. But it was like the head of the thing was sitting over the city of El Dorado. And in 8 different, amen, extensions and groups, it had it. Hallelujah. And I began to think, you know, if I got to get a sword and the things look so thick, thicker than telegram poles. And I'm thinking, man, that's good. And all I got is a sword. I need a chainsaw. I can't do this with no sword. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said, stop looking at the arms and cut the head. Hallelujah. With one wheel of the sword, when I cut it, it went right through the eyes, cut the top of the head all the way off. And when the top of the head came off, the central nervous system,
popped up like a volcano. And have you ever seen a spider when it die and draw up? That's how the tentacles were. All of the suction in them went out. And everything he had held, it didn't just drop. It was like it was let down like an elevator shaft. It came down comfortably. And the thing just withered up and then it just dissolved. Wasn't even any dust left. And I came to tell you, that's what God wants you to know. Don't you ever say again what's got this city bound. Don't you ever say again what's got this region bound. Because it has been decapitated in the heavens. And it's just a matter of time. If I be a prophet of God, you're going to see it in the region. Deliverance has come to the region. And the hub, God told me, just like I saw the head of that thing in El Dorado, he said the hub of deliverance is going to be in this city. The hub of revival will be in this city. A hub of outpouring of the Holy Ghost will be in El Dorado, Arkansas. A hub of a move of God. A hub for a spiritual awakening will be in El Dorado, Arkansas. A hub for old-fashioned Holy Ghost, Book of Acts, power-packed revival outpouring will be in this city. Yukarase mahunda la barriande ora basakanda la bohoya. Miracles of every kind, not just in the physical healing arena. See, some of y'all have never seen money miracles. I'm talking about miraculous money, supernatural money. Watch God. Folk gonna be moving the other way. They don't even know why they bring the business here. God's about to change the commerce in this city. God's about to change, hallelujah. You know, they call it the bottom line. God's going to change the bottom line in the city. But it's not just going to be in the city. It's going to spread out. If you go back and look and do your demographics for about the last 17 and a half years, look like from right around, things have been drying up. Businesses have been pulling out. Watch God. I prophesy to you as a prophet of the living God. It has turned around as of Thursday night. It's been turned around. Hallelujah. See, it turns around in the spirit first. And then you got to remember they had to dig the ditches. Just do your part. What God drops in your heart, just do what he said. See, God told me in Camden Church, and I was asking about the Eldorado Church. He said, I ain't tell you that. In Camden, he told me, amen, to tell them to plant $1,000 seed. He said, I ain't tell you to tell Eldorado nothing. Because we don't just go do stuff. Well, it's one church, two locations. But you better listen to the word of God. See, sometimes we try to carry stuff someplace. God ain't said nothing about that. But I can tell you this. Deliverance has come. Deliverance has come.